I wrote you a couple of weeks ago asking if I could interview you about your bonus baby status.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a good time?
Yeah, this is fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much, first of all. I appreciate your time.
And
I don't know if you recall in the letter, I told you I'm trying to write a book about that misguided rule that you fell prey to. I've talked with several of the boys, well, I guess none of us are boys anymore, but anyhow, of the bonus babies, and I'd like to speak with as many as possible because all the information I can get will help. A couple of years ago, I interviewed Ron Blackburn, not a bonus baby, but he said you were a friend of his and he spoke highly of you.
Oh, yeah.
Nice fella. If I'll ask you, I don't know, 8 or 10 questions, if you please just answer as long or as short as you want to, and then if you want to add something, please do, and if you don't want to answer something, don't. So just then we'll probably take 15 or 20 minutes. What was the amount of your bonus?
That amounted to $30,000.
What was the announced amount?
Pardon?
Was that the same amount that was announced?
No, it was announced at $50,000.
Okay, yeah, I found that maybe two of the fellows I've spoken with got what the public was led to believe, and the rest of them, there was a vast difference.
Well, actually, with my salary, it was around that, but the actual bonus was only $30,000.
Well, they gave you, what, 3 years major league salary?
Right.
Okay. Who signed you? What's got?
Joe Brown.
Oh, you went at the top.
Right.
Yeah. How many teams were after you?
Well, I don't know. There had been, playing at SC, I was contacted by several through the years, but I wasn't eligible to be signed. And then Pittsburgh, just more or less out of the blue, they worked me out and then asked me. I didn't really want to leave SC at the time. I'd been voted captain of the team, and I wanted to graduate and all that, so they asked me what it would take to sign me, and I gave one I thought was a ridiculous figure, and they said, all right. So I think that actually nobody really anticipated me signing until after my senior year.
So you gave up your senior year of eligibility?
Right.
And you went back, well, you're a teacher. You must have gone back to graduate.
Yeah, I went back and got my bachelor's and my master's degree.
Good. That's one thing. I don't know if the bonus money did it, but as you know, until recently, I guess even still now, the level of education of professional baseball players, not great, but a very, very much higher percentage, remarkably higher percentage of you bonus babies have college educations, even the boys who were signed out of high school. I don't know if the money contributed to that or how that came about.
I don't either. I don't know. I think a lot of the college players, at least around my area, do go back and get their degrees. I don't know what the percentage is, but I know. I right now I scout for the Major League Scouting Bureau.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say the majority of the players that sign, regardless of what kind of money they get, come back and do finish up.
That's good. That was not always the case.
Oh, no. Well, I think most of the kids that are coming back and finishing, though, are juniors, and at least up until this point, they can't sign till they're juniors, so a lot of them only have a year to go.
Right. What about the high school boys? Are many of them going on to college now?
Well, yeah. In fact, it's getting tougher to sign high school kids. I would say, as far as the good ones are concerned, unless they get an astronomical amount of money, most of them are going on to college.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's really competitive between the schools and professional baseball.
Yeah, I've heard that it's not the scouting, the draft orders are not being announced, so the college coaches won't know who to pursue.
Well, the colleges do a good job of scouting. They know who's out there. The reason that the rounds aren't announced is because of the agents.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't prevent them from finding out either, though.
I have a son in college right now who wants to play, give his left ear to play professional ball. And he was really hurt when he was not drafted out of high school. And I felt badly for him, but I'm afraid if he had been drafted, he would have signed if he had to pay somebody to sign him. And then college might have been out. So, I hope maybe he gets a chance down the road, but I sure am glad it worked out like it did this way.
Well, a lot of kids, what they do, if they go on to school, if they're fringy-type prospects, they're not going to be offered a great deal of money, so they go on to school,
mm-hmm.
and they sign after their senior year. They've got their education, and they give pro ball a shot. And, most of them don't make it, but at least they had the opportunity.
Right. Well, that's something I guess everybody's got to do if they can do it.
Oh, yeah.
Is your record at USC, I guess it is, with the reputation USC has for baseball, they keep their records. If I were to write them, you think I could get it?
Golly, I don't know. Hey, I don't know. I've never, I don't know if they have it or not.
The high schools back in those days, they kept the scorebook, and when the season was over, they proceeded to lose the scorebook the next day. But I would have to think, I'll write them in there, I would have to think it would be. That's been the pace setter in college baseball for centuries, it seems like.
Yeah. Up until recently, anyhow.
Right. Well, when you're in front, the others all try to catch you. When you joined the Pirates, you joined at the start of the season, which may have been a break for you in that nobody had to be bumped from the roster to make room for you. But how was the reception by your teammates when you joined the team?
Well, I'll tell you there, I felt comfortable right off the bat. And there wasn't any animosity or anything. I had read some papers, things in the paper about the fact that, as a result of, and Pittsburgh had signed several bonus players.
Right, they signed the most of any team, them and the Orioles.
Yeah, and there were some comments about having to play with a limited roster and that type of thing. But as far as individuals themselves, I played that 1 year with Pittsburgh, and then I played about 8 years in their organization. And then I managed for them, and all over the period of close to 15 years, I really never met anybody in the whole organization I didn't like or get along with.
That's good.
And, although I didn't, I always like to say I start at the top, work my way down. But I don't have any regrets because between SC and Pittsburgh, everything I've got, I basically owe them.
Uh-huh.
And it was a real experience.
I bet it was. A couple of the boys have told me, not really the first Pirate I've spoken with, but some of the other teams, some of the veteran players were downright nasty to them.
Nah, never once did I have any incidents like that.
Good.
And, it seems like the bigger the stars and the friendlier they were. And we had some, Roberto Clemente and Vernon Law, and Dick Grote used to help me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mazurowski was my roommate. And, I got all the help I could get. It was just the fact I didn't get to play very much.
That's one of the next question. Your managers, you had Bobby Bragan for two-thirds of the year and Danny Murtaugh. Now, maybe this is an unfounded statement, but I have heard that Bragan was not particularly thrilled with the idea of the young player.
Well, he never made that evident to me.
Uh-huh.
And he made some comments in the paper that were, you know, flattering as far as I was concerned. Of course, he also made some comments, you know, comparing the fact that I was a bonus player compared to Mazurowski, who wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, but no, he was, he never said anything that was negative or anything like that.
Okay. What about Murtaugh? How'd you like him?
Murtaugh was great. I mean, he was just a good baseball man, and a, you know, he was a funny Irishman, had a lot of stories and everything, and he had his own way of dealing with things. He was great with the press, and he just did a good job, I felt.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything bad about him.
No, and I, when I managed with Pittsburgh and scouted for him, you know, I'd run into Danny all the time, and he was just like he always was. Like I say, I didn't run into anybody in the whole Pirate organization who I ever disliked or anything. And Joe Brown, you know, he's the one that signed me and stuck his neck out for me. And to this day, you know, we see each other and we're friendly. And,
mm-hmm.
and he scouts in the same area I do. And he's, you know, he's always kidding me about wanting me to give the money back.
I suspect it's been spent along the way, huh?
Yeah.
What about the coaching? One of the one universal complaint from the Bonus Babies was that the coaching was insufficient.
Well, I think that's the individual player's fault. Obviously, they're not going to spend as much time as with the Bonus Babies, but for example, I was a shortstop, and Dick Grote, you know, he was always willing to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have to do, you get a lot of you get a lot of help from various people, a lot of advice, and you've got to be smart enough to pick out, you know, what can help you and apply it, and overlook, you know, the other advice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I ever ask a player or a coach to help me that he didn't help me.
Good.
And I think oftentimes, at least if I'm a coach, you know, it's difficult to get through to a guy that doesn't want help. So, no, I don't have any complaints in that area. And I think that I think that's the way you learn in baseball, or from other players, particularly veteran players. For example, Grote, you know, he was an outstanding player and a very intelligent guy. And I've always been surprised he didn't wind up being a major league manager. But I think it's just because he didn't want to go down the minor leagues and manage.
A lot of people have said they're surprised he's not managing. All I've heard and read, he does seem to be a particularly sound man at it.
Yeah, well, he never played the minor leagues, and I think it might have been an ego thing that he didn't want to go down and manage and work his way up.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt, you know, he was really an intelligent player. I often wondered why he never wound up managing.
One thing, Jim Small, now you were a little older, but he said when he was out of high school, he was living at home. He had to be in the house by 9 o'clock at night, and then he signed a big contract. And 3 days later, found himself in New York with people sticking their hand out for a tip. He said the adjustment for a boy his age was extremely difficult. Did you find that? You were about 2 or 3 years older.
Well, I think probably that's one of the most difficult things for a player. And when I was managing, that's one of the things you have to look out for. You get kids that it's the first time away from home, and they either go wild or they're just real homesick.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest adjustment I had to make wasn't off the field, it was on the field. I was used to being a big fish in a little pond, and now all of a sudden, you know, I'm playing with guys that are better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And probably that is the biggest adjustment I had to make, and I think that's a big adjustment for all kids coming out of high school and college.
Well, all these kids are just that. They come from where they're the big fish, and all of a sudden they're in a bigger pond with a whole lot of big fish. That's got to be tough.
I realize that my ability was limited. I didn't have any false ideas about that. But, you know, I just was used to playing all the time, and I, you know, I didn't get to play much, so, you know, that was a big adjustment for me.
Yes, I can imagine. Do you remember your base hit?
Yeah, I got it off Don Newcomb in a game against Brooklyn at Forbes Field.
Well, you got it off a good one.
Yeah. My first at bat, we were playing Milwaukee, and it was off T-Bone Phillips. Right, a line drive to right center, and I thought, this is a piece of cake, you know, base hit first time up. Billy Bruton came out of no place and sucked. Right then, I figured this is going to be a little tougher maybe than I thought.
Yeah, that can be a sobering effect, I imagine. At the time you signed, you signed in the last year of the bonus rule. You had seen, or at least heard of, 4 years previously of the boys signing and sitting on the bench and rusting from disuse. Did you have any reservations about signing a bonus contract?
No, not really. I was cocky enough at the time to think that that wasn't going to be a problem for me.
Steve Boros told me the same thing.
Found out. My only reservation was the fact I enjoyed playing for Dado at SC.
Uh-huh.
And I really would have liked to play my last year. But like I say, Pittsburgh asked me what I wanted, and I told them, you know, a figure that, you know, I thought was a little out of line, but they said okay, so there wasn't much else I could do.
And I don't think anybody can blame you. Somebody holds out more money than you've ever seen. You pretty much have to take it.
Well, especially when I was only a semester away from graduation.
Right. Would you, in retrospect, and this is an unfair question, would you do it again, or would you choose to go to the minor leagues?
I don't know. Obviously, often I've thought of that. And, I really don't know. Maybe if I would have started in Class D or C ball, you know, maybe I'd have never got out of it.
Yeah.
Then again, maybe I would have wound up being a major league player. The problem with me was I didn't really have a whole lot of ability. I just, you know, was one of those guys that hustled and did what you had to do to be effective. So I really don't have any regrets. I enjoyed my time at SC playing for Dado, and I've enjoyed all the people in the Pittsburgh organization. Obviously, I would have preferred to have stayed in the major league longer, but, you know, I got to manage for Pittsburgh, and I've been scouting now for about 20 years. So I'm still involved in the game, so I don't have any complaints. You often wonder, you know, there are about 10 more clubs than there were then. So probably everybody in my situation feels if I'd have come along at this time rather than then, you know, you'd have had a whole lot better chance of making it.
Oh, it would have been a different world.
Yeah, because at that time, as I see it, I spent most of my career in AAA. And AAA at that time was probably the equivalent of second division clubs, you know, in the major leagues right now.
I'm sure it was.
So
you had a lot of borderline ball players coming down as well as going up. I think it was a lot tougher competition.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I played against most of the good ones somewhere along the line, at least at that time. I played in the Coast League, the International League, so.
Where'd you play in the Coast?
For Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we won the pennant in 1959. It was the old Hollywood franchise.
Right.
Yeah, I played for them a year after they moved to Salt Lake, and I played at Columbus in the International League for several years.
Did you go to spring training with the Pirates again? Did you have...
Yeah, I went... I spent two springs with Pittsburgh.
Now, they had your position pretty well covered. Did you try to change positions or anything to make it back?
Well, you know, I could play all the infield positions. But they had, they had it pretty well covered with Grote and Mazurowski.
Yeah.
But that, and actually I did pretty good in spring training. I had, you know, the two springs I was there, I hit over 400 each time.
Wow.
But, you know, that would be early in the spring, and then the veterans would start playing in the games. And the extra guys usually would just go in and pick them up the sixth and seventh inning.
Who'd they carry as, they had Schofield as a backup. Who else did they have?
Well, that was after me.
Was it?
Yeah, when I was with Pittsburgh, we had Gene Freeze, Baker, and, the O'Briens.
Yeah.
You know, those were the extra infielders.
What is your opinion of the bonus rule when you went through it?
Well, I think it, you know, primarily it, you know, in retrospect, it doesn't do the player justice, because at that time, you know, you were supposed to spend 2 years in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And most of the bonus players weren't going to be playing for that 2 years, so that's going to hamper their progress. And, if you have one or two bonus players in the club, that means you're limiting your roster by a couple guys that really aren't going to help you unless, you know, you're talking about an Allen K line or something like that. So all the way around, I didn't think the bonus rule was beneficial to either the club or the player.
I think the Pirates at one time had, I'm looking for my list here, I don't know where it is, my desk is a mess. I think the Pirates had five bonus babies on the roster at one point, like in 55 or 56. Which, you know, they weren't going anywhere, but that was pretty much assuring them that they weren't going anywhere.
Well, we had four that I remember of when I was there. The O'Briens and Art Swanson and myself.
Speaking of Art Swanson, do you by any chance know where he is, know his address?
No, I sure don't. Last I heard, he was at LSU.
What is on the faculty?
Well, I don't know if he... Yeah, I think so. I thought he was the athletic director or assistant athletic director.
Okay, I'll try that. I've been able to dig out all but a couple of the bonus baby's addresses, and his is one. The last address I found, I think he was in Houston. And, but that's like 4 years old or something like that.
Well, that's probably more recent than the one I had.
Oh, okay. When you were there, the O'Briens, their bonus days were up. They were legitimately on the roster at that point.
Yeah, Johnny stayed the whole year and they sent Eddie out.
Yeah. And Johnny had switched to pitching, had he not?
Well, he was kind of bouncing back and forth. It seemed like that might have been the first year he started to pitch some. Basically, the year I was there, he was an infielder.
Those were evidently some pretty talented young men.
I guess they were good we could have fielded a pretty good basketball team.
I bet you could. I thought about that.
The O'Briens and Grote, that's pretty good nucleus.
Yeah, that started off right there. The bonus back in those days, of course, is nothing like what the boys are getting nowadays. But then it's a different world. To today a lot of people say, like this Taylor Boyd, the Yankee sign, what there is, what incentive does he have for trying to be a good ball player if he's already got $1.5 million? They said that about the bonus babies back in your day, too. Was that an applicable statement?
No, I don't. At least in my case, I didn't think anything about the money. The only thing the money meant to me was the fact that, you know, it was kind of a prestige thing.
Uh-huh.
But they could have given me $1 million, and I would have still tried as, you know, as hard as I could to make it. And I really felt obligated to the Pirates because, you know, they treated me so well, and they did have an investment in me. I wanted to make sure that I made it back to them. And Joe Brown has told me, even though I didn't get back to big leagues, you know, he knows I tried as hard as I could, and you know, they feel they got their money's worth throughout the year. So, now, I don't know if you're talking about some of these. Of course, the guys I see today in the big leagues, they're making $30 million. I wouldn't have them in the club.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't play hard as far as, some of them don't play hard as far as I'm concerned. Now, maybe they're not motivated, but my problem was I played so hard I was hurt all the time, and that's one of the reasons I didn't get back to big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much sympathy for guys that, you know, don't make the extra effort.
Good. I don't either. I get, we see it every day. A guy has a 3-year contract, in 2 years he hits 260, and then all of a sudden he hits 310 on the last year of it.
Well, I think maybe a lot of times that works in reverse, though. You know, some guy's really conscientious, gets a big contract, and he tries too hard to do.
Yeah.
To do well.
From the standpoint of a fan, not seeing it as close as you, it's pretty disheartening now to see what's going on.
Yeah, and then when you see the caliber of the major league clubs, but the individual Major League Baseball players have got to be better than they did when I played because all other athletes are better. But the quality of the teams aren't as good because the talent's so diluted.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't believe that the Major League clubs are as good now as they were then. For one thing, there's not as much pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, like I said, I think probably the AAA clubs when I played were, you know, might have been the equivalent to the second division clubs in the major leagues right now.
Right. Well, I remember I grew up out in Los Altos, and the Seals fielded some teams. I remember those teams the Angels had, that they could easily have handled some of the major league clubs at that time. They certainly could have handled the ones today.
Well, I remember in the Coast League, some of those guys signed contracts that they couldn't go to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
They preferred the Coast League. They made more money than they would the big leagues.
One fellow, Bill Rohr, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He said that he actually got a cut when the Seals sold him to the Pirates. He didn't get a cut. He was offered a cut, and he said he wouldn't sign for less than he could make in the Coast League.
Yeah, that wasn't really unusual in those days.
The Coast League played good ball. I enjoyed it very much. Do the fans still remember you? You still get fan mail today?
Well, yeah. I get 4 or 5 letters a month, but it must be that, you know, I'm wanting a list or something. They're trying to fill out their, you know, their baseball card set.
Mm-hmm. It's not people who remember you.
I doubt. Well, a lot more people remember me from SC than they do Pittsburgh.
Well, SC was a big deal. No doubt about that.
Yeah, that was, at that time it was.
Right, were you from Fullerton?
No, that's from Bell High School.
Uh-huh.
in Bell, California.
Right, I know. Yeah. You are in Fullerton now, right? Still?
Right.
Yeah. We lived there. I lived there for a while. Long time ago. But you and I are about the same age. You may be a couple years older than me, but some days I guarantee I feel older. I worked at Hunt Foods. And what was the name of the road? The road that ran from La Mirada straight into Fullerton.
Rosecrans?
Right. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Couldn't think of it.
Yeah, I teach at La Mirada High School.
Oh, do you really?
Uh-huh.
My brother and his family used to live there a long time ago. But it's been many moons.
Yeah,
I doubt I'd recognize it anymore.
No, it's changed since I've been going there.
Is that subdivision that was there, and I don't remember the name of it, the one that was tied up in court for so many years, have they ever done anything with that?
Oh, at Los Coyotes.
That may have, I don't remember. It was
right around the golf course, right?
Yeah, but it was in all stages of completion, and they couldn't do anything with it because of the lawsuits?
Yeah, that was settled years ago.
Was it? Okay. I know at the time it had been like 6 or 8 years.
I know. We had a secretary at school who'd been putting her payments into escrow for years. But that's all built up, I think that's been resolved for 15 years or so.
Okay, well, it's been, 25 years, I guess, since I've been there. So it's...
you sure wouldn't recognize it now.
Well, I can imagine. So someday I can also send Will back out there and visit.